Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. Have you ever had one of those days where everything finally feels calm, and then suddenly it's gone again? Maybe your dog had a great walk, so they were settling quicker and they were actually listening, and you think to yourself, we've cracked it finally. But then the next day, it's chaos again, and you feel like you're going back to where you started. You might be wondering to yourself, why can't we hold on to it? Why is it not sticking? Why is it like it this one day and then like that the next? If that is you, this episode is your reminder that you're not doing anything wrong. You are just human. And this is episode 2 of 3 of my mini reset series. So really short episodes, but they kind of follow a little path. If you haven't listened to episode 22 yet of the podcast, do listen to that one first and then follow it with this one. If you've got 15 minutes, listen to that one first and come back to this one when you've got another spare 15 minutes that you can kind of listen to it in the car or when you run a walk or whatever like that. Just some time to kind of follow that path through really clearly and really defined. So calm is not a destination that you reach once and stay there. I mean, it would be amazing if that would be the case. If that were possible, that would be awesome. But it's not, unfortunately. It is a state that your nervous system and your dog's nervous system needs to keep coming back to again and again and again. So the life that we live at the moment, the world that we're in at the moment, it's just busy. We're on the go all the time. There's a lot of pressure on us to do things. We've got to deliver and we kind of going to get stressed quite a lot with that and potentially hit our limit and our capacity and our overwhelm starts to kick in. So it would be awesome if calm was something we reached once and stayed there, but it's just not possible. So this is what is happening underneath the surface, and this is why you might be seeing that pattern of repeated kind of one day it's calm, the next day it's chaos. So your nervous system is naturally shifting between activation and rest. So think of it like waves. One day you're grounded and connected, potentially. It might not be that you've hit that point yet. If you're very new to the podcast, it might be somewhere where you're just starting with that. If you've been with me for a little bit longer, it may be something that you're hitting kind of more often now. That is your ventral vagal state. So the place of safety, learning and calm. Then the next day, something might trigger you or your dog. And suddenly your system's jumping back into sympathetic energy. So that sympathetic nervous system state, that alert, that readiness, that tenseness that I've talked about. Now, that swing between from state to state is not failure. It's pendulation. That's actually the word that we refer to it as. It's your body's way of moving between states to stay balanced. It is doing, your nervous system is doing exactly what it's designed to do. It is moving you from state to state depending on the environment and the situations that you're at the time and how you're feeling. But the problem can come when we start to expect calm to be constant. So we are going to label those fluctuations, those natural swings, that natural pendulation as setbacks or regressions. But they are really just signals that your system and your dog system might need a reset before returning to balance. So just think about kind of situations where you think that that's happening. So you are kind of one day you feel like quite grounded and calm and you've had a really nice kind of relaxed day. And then you kind of, maybe that's like a weekend. So on a Sunday, maybe it's like your chill out day. And then the next day is Monday and everything's go, go, go again. The kids have got to get ready for school. You've got to get get to work, whether you're working from home, you've got to get ready to go to work. If you're out commuting to an office or something like that, working with clients. So it can be that swing. And you can't think that being kind of calm, so your dog's probably mirrored your calm on Sunday. You've had a really chilled out walk, you've gone somewhere nice, you've maybe gone and stopped off at a cafe for a drink, and it's been nice and chilled. And then kind of you're going back into that like work day, and it's really busy and you're on your go and you're trying to kind of hit time. You know, you've got to be ready by 8 o'clock and you've got to be out of the house by 8:20 and all those things, your dog's going to feel that as well. So that chaos that you have getting ready in the mornings and then coming home from work and the kids have come back from school and the chaos of all of that where they're overstimulated and they're kind of running around and going a bit crazy and all that kind of stuff, your dog's going to be joining in with it. So all that stuff that's happening, that swing that I've talked about, it isn't regression or kind of a setback as we would frame it in our minds. It's genuinely signals from your nervous system and your dog's nervous system that we might just need to reset here before we start to try to do anything else, before we can feel that balance again. That's just a very natural way of life at the moment where things do feel that extreme. And the waves, imagine that wave kind of analogy that I used, the waves are really big. So you've got really big waves coming down, crashing down, and that's the chaos. But then the calm, what we want to create is, yes, there will be waves, but actually we can come back and we can reset. And actually that water, that sea, can be kind of lapping up and down on the beach. And there's a wave here and there, but it seems quite steady. And that's that calm state. So we're kind of jumping between the two. And I like to use the sea as an analogy and the waves, because you can really imagine that really easily. So have a think about this. So every time your calm disappears, and I'm using inverted commas for that, it's not vanished completely, it's not disappeared and it's never coming back, it's just been overshadowed by stress that needs tending to. So think about when you are gardening, use a different analogy here, you are planting the borders and the borders have all been de-weeded and the plants have been planted and they're growing really nicely, but you have to keep tending to the weeds that grow back. They're never going to stop growing. So that's the stress. The weeds are the stress that's coming back and you have to tend to that first. So that's just a nice little kind of thing that you can imagine again. If you've got that imagination like I do, you can imagine kind of tending to those weeds and doing that weeding that you need to do. Another one is imagining your calm as a muscle. So if you strain it, so that calmness is something that isn't there during that time because you've strained it, it doesn't mean it's gone forever. That muscle is still there, but it just means it needs to rest and recover before it gets stronger. So you've strained it, you've put too much pressure on that muscle, you might be doing a workout and you've just pushed it a bit too far with the weight that you're lifting. You maybe have jumped too quickly to a bigger weight and the strength that you're building, you've pushed it too far. You need to let that muscle recover before you start using it again. So that's the same as your calm. And the same applies to your dog. So when they react, when they bark, or they might struggle after that calm day that I mentioned, it's not that they're unlearning everything or they've unlearned everything completely. Their nervous system is simply showing fatigue. They're not being stubborn. A lot of clients and people that I talk to say they know what they should do. They know what they need to do. They know X, Y, Z. And it's not that that knowledge has gone. It's their nervous system saying, this is too much right now. So I can't deal with any more pressure on my nervous system. So the truth of it is that calm is cumulative. So every time you come back to it, it's easier to find. You keep building on it. That's what cumulative means. You're building on it and you're kind of making it stronger each time you do build on it again. So like a tower, you're building on top of it and you're building that structure and the foundation underneath. So I'm using so many analogies today. It's just, I really want you to kind of hear it and imagine it and feel it and really see how this is going to really help you. So I try and give practical tips to take away. So what can you actually do when your calm does disappear? So you've gone, yep, Sian, I know, I'm aware that my calm's disappeared. I understand that that pendulation happens. I'm shifting between calm and chaos, and it feels a little bit like the waves are a bit too big to get back to the calm. So what can you actually do when your calm does disappear? Here are my three gentle steps to bring it back. Now, things that we have talked about before, because they are so, so beneficial, they're going to be talked about again right now. I need to remind you. The first one is to pause before reacting. So I want you to really notice the urge to fix it immediately. So rather than trying to fix it immediately, take a slow breath instead. Now, this is easier said than done when we start it. So think about what I've just mentioned, what I've just said about muscle memory and that giving that muscle time to rest, but then coming back to the calm again. That single breath starts to interrupt the survival mode, starts to interrupt our nervous system going into that sympathetic state that is fight, flight or freeze, that activation state. So we want to interrupt that with that calm breath, that pausing, which I've mentioned in plenty of episodes before, but it's so useful and it really does help to bring that awareness in. Because if we interrupt that survival loop, that's when we can really start to make some changes. So then the second thing to do is anchor back into your senses. Now, if any of you have purchased the Quick Calm Down kit from me before, it's a really kind of low ticket price, really useful thing to work on when you are feeling that chaos. You can bring yourself back to a grounded place and then help your dog to feel that as well. This is one of the things that I talk about, anchoring back into your senses. So looking around, what can you see? No, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're inside or outside, wherever it is, you can do this in your car, at work. You can look around and just really take in what you can see. Feeling the ground beneath your feet, really anchoring your feet down into that ground and feeling them in, like, on the floor. It sounds like a really like weird thing to say, but really feeling your feet on the ground brings you back into the present moment. Again, really simple thing that you can do. If you're in your car, feel your feet on the floor of your car. If you're in the house, feel your feet in the carpet or on the rug or on the hard floor or on the tiles. Like, what does it feel like? Are your feet cold? Are they, like, mine are always cold. Are they warm? Like, what does it feel like under your feet? If you can, depending on when you listen to this, it's really nice to just go outside with bare feet and stand on the grass. That's a really nice grounding exercise that you can do. Listen for something. So you can hear, like, what can you hear in that moment? Can you hear your dog breathing? So I'm sat next to Oliver, who's laid next to me on the nice cozy blanket, and I've been listening to him breathing. And that's really helped just to bring me back into the moment. I can hear him now. You probably won't hear him over the mic. But he is breathing next to me nice and relaxed as he's dozing. Can you hear the wind if you're outside? Can you hear birds singing if you're outside? And even silence, even if there's no noise at all, you have that awareness that there is no noise. There is no sound happening. Like, can you hear your fridge freezer making that funny whirring sound that it makes? Like, anything like that's really, really going to help anchor you back into the present moment. And that's all you're doing. Like, whatever it is, what do you hear? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you taste? If you've got a coffee, if you've got chocolate, chocolate's always my analogy that I use for this one. How does it feel when you're eating it? Like, rather than like shoveling it in, just take one piece at a time and really kind of focus on the melting on your tongue and what it tastes like, and all of that stuff really, really brings you back into the present. So that's something that I talk about in the Quick Calm Down kit. Check it out if you want to kind of an easy way to come back to a place of calm, so it starts to help you to ground yourself. Alongside the grounding exercise, there's some other tips in there as well to bring you back into the moment. And then it starts to help you to rebuild a connection with your dog and start to make it more of a longer term thing in terms of bringing back the calm in a consistent way, not constant, but consistent. So go check it out on the website. I'll put the link into the show notes for the Quick Calm Down Kit, but it's a really nice way, really, really simple exercises that you can put into your day and start to feel that again. So that's the second thing, anchoring back into your senses. And then the third one is to offer co-regulation to your dog. Now, it's something that you need to work on to try and bring yourself to a place of calm first, because you can't fake it. You can pretend that you're calm, but your dog really will know that you're not. If you're feeling anxious or stressed in that moment, they will sense it. The science tells us that that's the case. Which also means, on the flip side, you can offer co-regulation to your dog when you are actually feeling calm. They will sense that too. So that could be, that looks different for everybody. So you can sit with them, just sit in with them and be with them. Not, you don't have to touch them, just be present with them. Like, Ollie's with me right now. I'm not touching him. I'm not going to feel like I'm going to go and stroke him or anything like that. He's just with me and present with me now. If your dog is into touch and they don't get overstimulated by touch, put your hand on them and just be with them if they're happy with you doing that. Sometimes, again, it's very nuanced and very specific to every dog and person, but sometimes dogs just want to be with you but not be touched. Sometimes dogs love a cuddle. Sometimes dogs get really overstimulated and triggered if you touch them in a way where they just go like, oh my god, this is so exciting. And some dogs are calmed by it. So, like, understanding what your dog is telling you and how they feel about that kind of thing. Touch can be a really nice co-regulation exercise if you are feeling calm and you do touch them and they're happy with that. A calm touch on their backs or on their chest or under their chin, that kind of thing, can be really, really nice for them. Match your breathing to theirs. So look at how they're breathing and see if you can just really think about how you're breathing and focus on your breath, because that's going to bring you back to the present as well. Your calm body becomes the cue that their body trusts, because you're co-regulating. That is co-regulation. It's not super, super like difficult and complicated. We don't want to overcomplicate this. We want to make it simple. So co-regulation really helps. And the small reset that we've gone through there, those three steps, are what I call the calm circuit. So it's a feedback loop between you and your dog, and it strengthens every time you practice it. So again, this is about consistency. This is about coming back to the same thing, not day in, day out, because having a break, like in the previous episode, having a break when you need it is helpful and starts to make progress happen. But if you can consistently come back to this calm circuit, think about what I've said earlier on about that muscle getting stronger once you've kind of let it have that rest it needs, it will be easier the next time you do it. So those are the three steps. And I just want to kind of go into it as it, like, with a real life example. So say your dog barks at another dog on a walk. That response that you have, and I have been a reactive dog mum, so I know those feelings of embarrassment and overwhelm and frustration, and like if it's been going on for a long time, and stress. So your heart can jump because it's something sudden. Their lead starts to tighten because you feel tense in that moment, so the tension starts to build in your body. That then transfers down the lead to your dog. You are both potentially in freeze mode. So your dog is kind of like held on the spot. You're as tense as you can be with that really tight lead. So in that moment, instead of pushing through or labelling it as failure, because I've been there and I've done that myself, you can treat it as a signal instead. So your systems have both just got flooded in that moment, and that is what's happening. That's what's that behavior is communication from your dog. So that reactivity that you're seeing is the signal that their systems got flooded, and your reaction in that moment with the heart jumping and the tension and the lead tightening and the freeze moment potentially is the same thing happening for you. So what we can do is, with those three steps that I've mentioned, we can pause. We can take a step to one side. Now, this is going to take repetition. It's not going to change things immediately, like, you know, the click of a finger. It's not going to change that quickly. So you pause, you step aside, you take a breath. So that reactivity has just happened. So your dog has just reacted, and the dog that they were reacting to has gone around the corner. Your dog might be feeling quite emotional in that moment. So there's still residual stress there. It's not going to go away really quickly. So you take the pause, you take that breath. You might see your dog shake it off. So when I say shake it off, imagining Taylor Swift right now doing the shake it off dance. Your dog, if their fur is all wet, you see them do that wet dog shake. That's what we call it, the wet dog shake. But actually in that moment, they're not wet at all. And they've just done that wet dog shake. That is them trying to regulate their heart. They're trying to get their heart rate down. They're trying to regulate their body and just shake off that residual stress that's just sitting in their bodies. That's a really good sign. That's what you want to see more of. They can do that when they've just had moments of play as well. So it can be stress, it can be play, overexcitement. They're just trying to shake it off. And actually, it can really help you to do that as well. Now, I'm not like the wet dog shake, but just shake it off, shake your hands and shake out all that residual. If you're watching me on YouTube, you're just seeing my hands shaking around on the screen. That can really help just regulate your body, because it's telling your body that you're safe. If it's not something that you can do because you're out in public, that's absolutely fine. But the breathing exercises can help with that. But if you're in the house, say your dog's just reacted out of the window, that can be where it can really help you instead. So you can shake it off in your house instead. So they've reacted to a dog out the window, the dog's gone past, your dog's still kind of getting a bit pacey and they're breathing quite excessively, looking out the window to see if they're still there. Shake it off, shake off that stress, and it can genuinely, it really does ground you. So you're giving your dog on that walk, in that first kind of example, a moment to sniff the ground while you are breathing. So you're giving them time to breathe. If they're sniffing, it's an outlet. It's going to really help them with that stress, with the reset that they need. And in that pause, calm starts to rebuild again. So it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be happening, like I say, like with the click of a finger and all of a sudden everybody's back to a really calm state forever. But it's steady. So that calm starts to rebuild steadily. And that's when you start to see that recovery happen faster the next time, if you are consistent with it. And that's when you start to see the progress. So I've lived this myself. I've experienced it all those emotions. A dog that flips herself up into the air at the end of that lead and lands any which way on the floor because she's that extreme with her emotions. That's how much her emotions have taken over in that moment. And I've been the tense, frozen dog mum, not knowing what to do. And I've gone through all of these processes, and I can say honestly, hand on heart, that this has really, really helped me. And so many clients in my private client program who've worked with me one-to-one with their reactive dogs, dogs who've been anxious, dogs who've been extremely stressed, separation anxiety, that kind of thing. It's really helped them to do these things as well. So calm's not something that, like I say, that you hold on to and keep there forever, permanently with you. It's something that you keep returning to over and over again. The more you practice coming back to that, the shorter that gap between that chaos and connection actually becomes. So if you can repeat it, have those moments to break, have a break, pause, reset yourselves, come back to a place of calm. It will come back quicker next time for both you and your dog. So next time you feel like your calm's disappeared and you think, where's it gone? Why am I feeling this way? Remind yourself that you've not lost it. Your dog's not lost it either. You've just stepped out of it and you know how to find your way back. So you've stepped off the path. You might be in the brambles. You might be you can't see the wood for the trees, but you know how to get back to that path that's nice and calm and clear and easy to walk on. So if this episode has given you a little light relief, really would like you to share it with somebody who you think might need to hear it as well. So friend or family member or colleague at work that you think's going to really kind of see the benefit from it, and really hear basically that calm's not all or nothing. We can start to frame it like that if we are perfectionists and society tells us that we have to see the all or nothing of these things, but it's just a rhythm. And if you'd like to learn how to build that calm and connection that actually genuinely lasts and you start to feel confident, the Confident Dog Parent Blueprint is my online course, my online guided path that starts to really kind of set the emotions forward with it. So it's not something that you can join anytime. I open it twice a year and it's opening soon. So if you want to join the waitlist for the course, go check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes to that. I'll put the link to the show notes to the quick calm down kit as well. But I want you to hear that you are doing better than you think. Your brain is telling you that you're not good enough, that you're not doing things right, but you are doing better than you think. So as always, I want you to breathe and to reset and to start again tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast. And I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.